Welcome. You're listening to Manisha Bluntschli of Limbic Light Podcasts, ready to share with you my most valuable insights and tips gathered after 40 years' experience working as an acupuncturist, herbalist, and light therapist. You can expect to grow your knowledge on topics such as innovative light therapies, natural super substances, and more to help you achieve your greatest asset, your health. Good morning. Hello, everyone. Wherever you may be on this planet Earth, today I'll be talking about some light issues. I wanted to discuss ultraviolet light with you today, how it can be used for your benefit, and the different ways that it can be used. So in this episode, here are some of the topics that I'll be covering for you. I'll be talking about the spectrum of light and where ultraviolet sits in the spectrum. I'll be talking about specifically ultraviolet rays and the different types and their wavelengths. I'll be talking, of course, about ultraviolet and its beneficial uses. And then I'll be starting looking at a specific form of ultraviolet therapy known as ultraviolet blood irradiation. I'll be looking at the history of how this particular therapy was used, how it developed and evolved, and what it was used for. I'll discuss the current technique or method of ultraviolet blood irradiation. I'll be talking about a little bit of the controversy which follows around this particular topic and why it's there. And then we'll look at some of the different ways that you can actually bring ultraviolet in a healthy, healing way into your life to help your health. Okay, let's make a start. So you know that I am all about light. Light is one of those phenomenal, amazing things that we actually poorly understand. We're only at the verge of starting to dive a little bit deeper into understanding what it might do for us on a body level and also on a psychological level. And so when we look at light, you can put light in the electromagnetic spectrum. Those of you who may have done a little bit of physics or science study, you know that everything in this universe exists as a waveform. It is a type of energy, and all of this energy is placed into what's called a spectrum, going from the very slow, long waves of energy into very fast, short waves. And I won't go into the full spectrum, but I just wanted to give you a bit of a snippet. So, of course, we know all about visible light, and visible light is just such a small sliver of this entire electromagnetic spectrum. And on either side of light, and of course, light can be used therapeutically within light, people often forget that color are just different portions of wavelengths within the visible light field. So there is color therapy or chromotherapy or light therapy can be all bunched into this visible light therapy. If you go a little bit into the longer or slower wavelengths, we go into the infrareds. The infrareds are the heating thermal types of waves. And of course, they are used therapeutically for our body. We know that it's used in saunas, from the sun, all sorts of different thermal effects on our body. And then if we go to the other side of the visible light on the electromagnetic spectrum, we'll come to the faster, shorter rays. We go into the ultraviolet spectrum. Now, there's been a lot of negative press and a lot of negative talk about these ultraviolet wavelengths. And it's quite unfortunate because everything has its positive and not so positive effects on our body. And if we use these wisely, the ultraviolet light, and with a little bit of knowledge, then they can benefit us greatly. So let's have a look at it. When we come to the ultraviolet rays, we can say that they're categorized into, you could say, three main categories. And that's according to their wavelength. Wavelength basically means how long or how fast the actual wave takes to do one oscillation. So we have UVA, B, and C wavelengths. UVA are the waves of the ultraviolet which are closest to the visible light spectrum. If you want numbers, they're around the 315 to 400 nanometers. Nanometers is basically the measurement of the wavelength. And nano, of course, is very small. And then we have UVB, which is a little bit shorter, and it's from 280 to 315. And then we've got UVC rays, and that's still shorter, and it's in the 200 to 280 nanometers of wavelength. So generally what we say and what science agrees upon is that any shorter waves, shorter than 280 nanometers, has difficulty. It won't penetrate through the Earth's atmosphere to get to us. And of course, these rays, as they go even shorter, you'll go up into the X-rays, which of course we know about them being damaging to our health. So these really shorter wavelengths, UVC or higher than UVC, isn't going to be able to penetrate to our bodies. So it's like a natural protection type of process that those harmful rays won't get through to the Earth's atmosphere. Of course, we still have to be sensible and not overexpose ourselves to some of these other A and B wavelengths. So let's have a look further. We know through history that ultraviolet has been used therapeutically, even when little babies are born and they're a little bit young or they're jaundiced, their skin goes yellow, they're put into little cribs in the hospital that have UV. I'm pretty sure it's A, it's one of the lower ultraviolet waves, very safe, and it helps to correct their liver function and their blood function and helps to break down some of that excess bilirubin in their blood. When you get to ultraviolet B, it's often being used for skin conditions. In fact, psoriasis and all sorts of skin problems, vitiligo, are being helped by using ultraviolet B rays, lamps, something called photodynamic therapy, where they use these rays, the B rays, to help that. Ultraviolet C rays, they're the higher, faster ones. They're starting to get a little bit higher and more potent. And the C waves are used as a type of germicide, as a type of sterilization. And they're used for sterilizing in hospitals, different surgical equipment. It's even used for disinfecting surfaces and food, certain food preparations, and also for what I'll be talking about soon is the ultraviolet blood irradiation method. It's thought that ultraviolet C rays have the potential to break down some of the pathogens which might be a problem in the body causing infections. So when it comes to understanding what this ultraviolet rays might be doing, we might say that it's quite similar to ozone therapy. What happens is this ultraviolet rays, light, can enhance the white blood cells in our body, that includes our neutrophils, to be more active, to be more diligent in their job. And the neutrophils' jobs are to engulf pathogens and debris and types of all sorts of things that we might not want in our blood system causing us a problem. So when the neutrophils become active, that means the immune system's strong and it starts to gobble up all those undesirable little aspects within our blood. So you could say that ultraviolet rays help to stimulate immunity. And it's become known now that ultraviolet ray therapy is particularly good for skin and also for infections. If I had to choose anything, they're the two main problems. And of course, what's happened now is antibiotics have been used so extensively that many of the strains of different bacteria in our body become resistant and strong and resilient, and they won't any longer respond to the antibiotic treatment. So what we're finding now that we need something absolutely stronger, and the ultraviolet light can do this as well as ozone therapy. I won't be talking about ozone therapy today, but let's just focus on the ultraviolet. Let's have a look at history, where it was all discovered and how it evolved basically to become a therapy. And I'll be talking specifically about ultraviolet blood irradiation. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's actually a technique where a very small portion of the blood is taken from the veins in our body, and it's irradiated in a small chamber with ultraviolet light. Usually it's ultraviolet C. And it's only for a short time, and it's only a small amount. And then it's recirculated back into our body throughout our blood system. And it starts a reaction where it starts to activate the neutrophils, our immune system. And through doing this, many doctors have found that they've had incredible results with all sorts of problems. And I'm just going to tell you some of the ultraviolet blood irradiation benefits of what it's been used for successfully. So, as I mentioned, it heightens the body's immune response. It's also a very powerful anti-inflammatory, and it also has a very powerful anti-infection effect. It improves the circulation. It also brings more oxygen to the blood and to the tissues. It balances the body, so it has a homeostasis effect. So in other words, if something is over aggressively, for example, the immune system, as in rheumatoid arthritis, it will quieten it down. Or if there's a very underactive immune system, such as, for example, cancer or other conditions, it will help to bring up the immunity. So it has a balancing effect. It's called homeostasis. It also reduces pain in the body, which is very useful and helpful. It can be used for pain tolerance to radiation and chemotherapy if people are having treatment for cancer. And it also protects the cardiovascular system, which is really important. It increases the metabolism of the cholesterol, uric acid, and glucose. So basically, it means that all those things are being used more efficiently, broken down properly, expelled properly, keeps them in check. It also stimulates the production of red blood cells, which is very handy if someone's anemic or very tired. And generally, it improves the flow and the properties of the blood. Now, I'm just going to tell you a little story before I launch into the historical beginnings of this type of therapy. I am a member of the International Light Association. I can highly recommend anyone who's interested in light to have a look online at this particular website with all their resources. It's well worth it. I'll put a link in the show notes if you're interested to follow up with this. But for a while before the COVID hit us on the planet, the International Light Association were running annual conferences all about different light aspects and their healing and health benefits. I attended one in Florida a few years ago, and one doctor was there demonstrating the ultraviolet blood irradiation. I was so fascinated. So he was demonstrating to the audience how it was done. He had a volunteer. And he talked to us about all the successes that he had had and how useful it had been for all sorts of conditions. He used it for the big C He used it for immune deficiency. He used it for all sorts of different conditions very successfully. Anyway, it had a big impression on me when I saw this, and it stayed with me. And I'm just a little bit sad that it doesn't have more recognition and more acceptance within the conventional mainstream so that it can be used more readily for people who need it. I actually don't know anyone in Australia who is using this therapy or offering it, rather. I did extensive searches around and I did find someone in Victoria a few years ago, but soon after that, their name had been sullied by the mainstream, unfortunately, as are often people who are doing very innovative work. Many doctors sacrifice themselves or their reputation by offering some of these therapies, and they're taken down, basically. And it's very unfortunate that the big C industry doesn't allow alternative methods to help people heal. And I won't go into this area, but it is a sad fact that a lot of doctors who were able to offer these therapies are now either doing it in quietness, in very confidential ways, through word of mouth, or they've stopped completely. So if you're interested in this, I know it still exists in America, but you may need to do an extensive search. In 1801, a Polish physicist by the name of Johann Ritter was working at a university in Germany, and he discovered a form of light beyond the violet end of the spectrum that he called chemical rays. And later it became known as ultraviolet light. And in 1845, that's a while ago, Bonnet first reported that sunlight could be used to treat tuberculosis, arthritis, which is a bacterial infection of the joints. And in the second half of the 19th century, the therapeutic application of sunlight, known as heliotherapy, some of you may have heard of this, became popular. Many people think that it started in Switzerland. It was actually a Swiss man by the name of Rickley who went to Slovenia. And he started offering heliotherapy. Basically, heliotherapy is a method where doctors would put their patients in the sunlight, in the clear airs of the mountains, in pristine areas. And they found that their patients could heal themselves from all sorts of conditions. TB was very rampant at that stage, and they found that their patients could heal very well when they were exposed to this sunlight. They also noticed that when they put a solution of sugar in the sunlight, it remained clear for quite some time, for a long time, compared to solutions of the same type of sugar mixture put into the shade, which became cloudy quite quickly. And basically that cloudiness was microorganisms, bacteria that was growing into that solution. So from that, they deduced that the sunlight had a property, which was preventing the growth of bacteria in the solution, and it could be done also for the body. In 1904, the Danish physician Niels Finsen was awarded a Nobel Prize. He was actually using ultraviolet treatments for his patients for various skin conditions. He had a huge success rate of 98%, and he treated thousands of cases of mostly cutaneous tuberculosis, which was also known as lupus vulgaris. There were other reports, such as Walter Ude, and he reported a series of 100 cases of skin infection caused by streptococcus in the 1920s. He was using irradiation of the skin with ultraviolet light as well. And then moving a little bit forward, Emmett Knott. Knott is one of those pioneers who has become quite well known for his work with ultraviolet blood irradiation, he proposed the idea that part of the good results that were being had or received by using ultraviolet radiation was due to its effect on the blood. So he wanted to take it a little bit further. And he started experimenting and taking small amounts of blood from a person's veins and then irradiating them just for a short time in a chamber with the ultraviolet light. And then not moved on to do some experiments with dogs. He started some experiments irradiating blood extracted from the dogs that had been intravenously infected with the Staphylococcus aureus bacteria. And he found that when he irradiated a small portion of their blood and that blood was then put back into their body, it was able to kill all the bacteria in circulation in their blood. Something interesting that he found was that he only needed to take a very small portion of the dog's blood, and the optimal amount to be irradiated was found to be only 5 to 7% of the whole blood volume in the dog, or that translated to 3.5 mils per kilogram of weight. And if he was to take more blood out, he found that there was a loss of the benefits of the therapy. So all the dogs that were treated with the ultraviolet light to the blood recovered from the overwhelming infection, while many dogs in the control group died, unfortunately. None of the dogs that were treated and survived showed any long-term ill effects after 4 months observing them. So this led to not experimenting and applying this technique for humans. One of the first conditions that they actually used it for was for people with pneumonia. When he used this technique, there was a rapid decrease in their temperature. They all had fevers, obviously. And something which was quite common in the ill people, they had cyanosis. That's basically where their lips go quite blue and dark. This disappeared really quickly. It usually only took 3 to 5 minutes and the color would normalize back to their good, healthy color. Delirium would go very quickly. And there was a reduction in the pulse rate and the lungs corrected themselves rather quickly. The time that they needed to stay in hospital was reduced and they recovered much more quickly. So Knott was rather impressed by his experiments. He was really the pioneering person who brought this method to the public. So he developed his own technique and it was called the Knott technique of ultraviolet blood irradiation. He started to teach doctors who were interested in the procedure and it became quite well known and well used with very good results. It's unfortunate that when the antibiotic revolution in the 1900s came to a forefront, it put a bit of a stop or a dampener and this particular technique wasn't being used anymore. It was being replaced by antibiotic therapy. However, Knott's technique, he would usually take 3.5 mils per kilogram of the weight of the person, of the patient, of blood. So it's not a huge amount. As we said, it was probably about 5%. And then it would circulate into a chamber where ultraviolet light was being irradiated onto that blood. And it was only irradiated for 10 seconds, so really for a very short period of time. And the wavelength he used, or the peak wavelength, was 253 nanometers. So that's in the ultraviolet C range. There's all sorts of different studies that have been done and how useful this particular technique has been for treating all sorts of infections, for post-abortion septicemia, E. coli, peritonitis, typhoid fever. And it's rather interesting, at the onset of COVID-19, there was mention of this particular technique. It was referred to as a disinfectant. Unfortunately, the mainstream media took these words and ran with it, and it was basically placed out of context. But what the original intent was to instruct people that there are methods such as ozone therapy and ultraviolet blood irradiation therapy that could work very effectively for very stubborn, difficult infections such as the COVID-19. Now, unfortunately, there's been a lot of censorship around these topics, so not many people are hearing about this. However, I want to bring it to the light now because it deserves being heard, and it deserves possibly some very innovative doctors or therapists or nurses who may want to take this on as a type of therapy. And if that's the case, there are quite a few resources available if you do a decent search online, or you could even contact me because I have done that research. You can find somebody to train you. It may not be in Australia, but you can travel and you can bring this therapy to the forefront if you're so inspired. Now, this is not going to be for everyone. It's quite, I was going to use the word invasive therapy. Anything that really takes blood out of your system does require a little bit of invasiveness, and it's not for everyone. However, some people who are really struggling with very stubborn, chronic, difficult to treat conditions may want to look at this particular therapy. But there are other ways that you can get your UV light, and I'm going to mention some of them here. They're simpler and they're easier. So UV light is available in lamps now. I did see that Philips, a well-known lighting brand, are bringing out UVB lamps. And if you look at Dave Asprey's work, he has several podcasts and articles talking about how he loves to put himself under the light of a UV lamp, particularly in winter. He lives in Canada, so there's long periods of time when he's not exposed to the sunlight. So he has a little regime of exposing his body and his skin for a short amount of time every day with a UV lamp. You can easily purchase those. It's not difficult to install. So that's one way. UVB lamps are used therapeutically for psoriasis, as I mentioned before. So that's another indication where you might like to use this particular method. And I'll just remind you that ultraviolet light, it has so many benefits. It's not just regulating our immune system, but it also it's involved in our hormone production. Not many people realize that vitamin D is more of a hormone than it is actually a vitamin. And you can't really replace hormones. You can, people do try. But the very best way is when your body produces it itself. And one of the triggers, or the biggest trigger that's going to make your body produce this vitamin D, which is a hormone with all sorts of benefits, which I'm sure you've heard about, is by putting yourself out into the ultraviolet light. So a UV lamp may do this for you as well. So once upon a time, probably a little bit over 10 years ago, suntanning booths were quite popular, but they also got the axe and a lot of negative publicity. And of course, when the sun was vilified, and I'm talking rather strongly here because I think the sun needs to be recognized for its benefit and its value. Of course, as I said before, you do everything in moderation and with care, not to overexpose yourself. But the sun has so many healing beneficial effects for our skin and for our body generally and our hormones, that really we don't want to miss out on that. So the UV beds were simulating a system where people could actually lay or stand in a chamber where it would irradiate their whole body with ultraviolet light to bring all those benefits to their body. But of course, the skin cancer scare put a stop to that. Now, you might still be able to find somewhere or someone who has these ultraviolet beds around. And used wisely, particularly in winter when there's no sunlight around, could be a very good way to get your ultraviolet irradiation. And of course, whatever you put on your skin, remember, there's so many superficial surface capillaries that go close to the skin. So you're not only irradiating your skin, but you're also getting it into your blood. So the final way to get ultraviolet radiation and therapy to your whole body is by putting yourself out in the sunlight. And I think you're all aware of how this is promoted for mental health, for hormone health, for circadian rhythm health, for energy health, for so many different reasons, for skin health, for immunity health as well. And the idea is that you do want to expose yourself to those midday sun rays. That's when the ultraviolet B and A rays come to the fore, and they're the ones that we want therapeutically. And of course, if it's a super hot day, you probably don't want to do more than 20 minutes. But I do recommend to see if you can get at least 20 minutes in the middle of the day, in other words, somewhere between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., of sunlight on your body. And as I said, it may not be possible in those colder climates in winter, but you can look for alternatives. So there you go. Some of the benefits of ultraviolet light therapy. Make use of it and have a think about that controversial method, ultraviolet blood irradiation method, how useful it has been for infections and skin problems, how it's been downtrodden, and possibly we can create a new revolution of good, healthy therapies, bring them to the fore again, bring them to the public who need them. Modern medicine's not necessarily always has all the answers, and it's not for everyone. So we need to have an array of different options for people to choose from. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this show. Please pass it on to anyone you think might be interested. And thank you so much for listening. I enjoy conversing with you. Until next time again, see you later. You've been listening to Manisha Blunchley of Limbic Light Podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please pass on these podcasts to anyone you think may benefit. And please, I ask you to subscribe to being notified about upcoming news, releases, and special offers in the link below in the show notes. Thank you so much, and may the force be with you.